I'm Kerry Rowett, and this is the Align and Attract podcast, helping you to create your version of an aligned business. Let's dive into today's episode. Should you run a live event? Is this something that's going to be aligned for you in your business? I am so excited to dive into this question with you today and help you to really clarify if a live event is something that could be really beneficial for you in your business, what your live event might look like, and what you can do to make it the best possible experience for yourself, as well as, of course, for the people who are going to be attending. So I have just run a live event. It was in Melbourne, 1st of March, 2024, and I had not run a live event by myself before. I've been in business a long time. Many people have not run live events in the last few years, and I had run live events previous to that, but always with other people. And that can actually be a really great place to start, because you do have two or more audiences that you are sharing that event with. It can work really well if you've got similar kind of levels of interest between, you know, your client groups or your audience groups, and you have the same amount of capacity to put into the organization and running of the event. So what I am really seeing is a lot of people really are craving live events right now. So years ago, there was kind of like the online rush, and I was one of the people who was pretty early to the party, and I was working with clients online from 2012, only a few to start with here and there as clients needed a session online for different reasons. Perhaps they were at home with a young baby, or they'd moved interstate, or they were traveling, or they were sick in hospital or something, and they wanted to have a session. And this is really how it started for me. But by 2014, I moved my business online, and I was seeing clients almost exclusively online. So that was the trend years ago. And of course, that was really expedited in 2020. 2021 for obvious reasons. And now what I'm seeing is that people are really craving that kind of in-person contact. And if you are willing to show up and to create an event with a clear purpose that is really tailored to what it is that your clients or your audience really desire, I think you can have a great experience running an event. But with a few considerations. So should you run a live event? I've got five things to take you through today. And my first question for you is, do you want to? I would never encourage you to do something from the place of I should, or it seems like the next step, or people are saying this is working, or anything like this. You want it to really come from your heart, your gut. In my case, my event initially came about because, first of all, I'd attended an event which Tina Tower had held. It was her launch, and she'd invited some of her students to be with her during that launch, and she created this incredible experience for us in this beautiful house. And I really saw how this is something we can really gift to our clients, is an experience that is an expander. I didn't learn anything specifically from Tina in this experience because she was focused on her launch. Of course, I was able to observe that and learn from that, but this experience was not about teaching these people who came along with her anything in particular. We were ideally there to support her and to help her and to observe as well. But it was this secondary benefit, this secondary gain of just being in that energy, being in the energy of this incredible luxurious house. She organized for us to have a photo shoot there as well. And that had some really positive flow-on effects. Then a client of mine, Victoria Gibson, said to me when I commented on a post of hers about events that she had been to, Kerry, if you ran an event in Melbourne I would come. Like, why don't you run an event? And when she said that, I felt this sense of yes. So it doesn't have to be just that you know, directly or initiate this exclusively. This could come from a client. It could come from me asking you this question now. Do you want to run an event? And when you feel that sense of yes, it's trusting in that and allowing yourself to just follow that thread of curiosity and to, you know, see if this is something that really makes sense for you. So that's the first question. Do you actually want to? Yes. Great. Let's keep going. Number two, get clear on the purpose. This is so important. Why do you actually want to run this event? What do you want your clients to get out of it, or the people who are your participants, the people who attend your event? And of course, can be multiple layers to this. And then also, what do you want to get out of this? So let's start with your clients. Is there some kind of work that you do or that you teach that really makes sense to do in person across multiple hours or across a day? I'm not going to go into multiple day events at this point, but is there something that you could really do, an experience that you could take people through? And that's really how I saw my event. It was on this theme of expansion, expanding capacity, dreaming bigger. And as I felt into and shaped the day, I was creating an experience for the participants around that theme across the day and how I wanted that to feel across the day, where I felt we could create some expansion, where we could create some release, where we could drop in some new ideas, some fresh ways of thinking, some strategies to support what I knew could come up as potential blockers as people started to move into creating their vision. So they were resourced around that as well. And so your event, is it around community? Like, is it bringing members of your community together? Is it around creating an experience? Is it because you want to teach a specific type of work? Is it from your own side for you to feel into whether this is something you like to do? Do you like creating events? You might want to actually explore that. So running an event is going to allow you to do that. Are you creating this event for existing clients, people who are already in your world and already know you? And if that is the case, really thinking about what those clients would actually need, what they would really benefit from, and to the benefits as well of your clients connecting with each other. And then that creates this shared sense of community. It's like we're all doing this work potentially individually or online as a part of a course or a program that you teach, but then we've got this additional connection that we've now made because we've had the chance to spend time with you in person. You might also have the purpose for your event to attract more clients. And I have done this in the past. So I mentioned about running some events previously collaboratively. And there were two events I did run quite early on in my career as a kinesiologist, which did help me to attract more clients. Now, what I focused on as I was creating this event with a friend who was a yoga teacher was on delivering an incredible experience and taking people through a series of processes that would help them to create a shift, which was around getting unstuck at that time. And because of this experience, we're able to provide for them. So many of the people who attended those workshops, and there were two workshops and about 17 or 18 people attended each one, some of my existing clients and some who became clients. And that did create this really beautiful flow of clients for some time afterwards, because not everyone came to see me straight away, but as they had a purpose or a reason to see someone they had a connection with me. So if you're wanting to attract more clients and to use your event as a way to do that, maybe it's going to be something shorter. Maybe it's going to be something you're going to be doing with one or more other people, still focused on creating this great experience and wonderful value, but knowing that people who attend your event and get this great experience are really going to see you as someone who can help them, who has helped them, who has created a good experience for them already, they've connected with, they've spoken with, they've really had this opportunity to experience your energy. And then if they need what you offer, that you're going to really make sense to be someone they're going to want to work with. So it may be like straight away, or it might be longer term. And of course, you can create specials or opportunities that can come out of that event. I would not personally create an event that, you know, has a lot of risk to you thinking that you're going to attract a lot of clients. And I have seen clients do this and even colleagues, peers as well. So let me explain that just a little bit. So if you think I am going to create this event, of course, so many people are going to want to work with me afterwards, or they're going to buy my programs, or they're going to, you know, go on to work with me in a bigger format. So what I'll do is I'll make this event really cheap, get lots of people there, and I will get the benefit later or afterwards. Now, if you can afford to bear that risk, and whether it happens or it doesn't happen, you're totally going to be fine either way, and you want to experiment with that, that is great. I have seen where that hasn't necessarily played out. I've seen where people have ended up running events that have cost them money. And so it's just being aware that that can happen. And so ensuring, and we'll go into this in a sec, that you are charging appropriately and you're doing your due diligence ahead of the event to make sure that it makes sense and doesn't end up being a bit of a detraction from your business because it's taking your time and energy away from what actually makes you money in your business. Right. Let's dive into number three. Feel into the size and the price point of the event. So this connects with what I was just speaking about. If you haven't run a lot of events before, or indeed any, you might think, oh, I want to run a low-cost event. That will mean that more people come and it'll all kind of work out in the end. Now, that might happen or it might not. What I would encourage you to consider is putting an appropriate price onto the event so that even if you were to attract less people than what you might think at the outset, that it will still be totally fine. So don't undercharge for your event thinking that is going to lead to more people coming to your event, because it might not. And sometimes when your event is priced too low, it can be a little bit confusing to people. They can think, oh, maybe it's not that good, or they don't necessarily prioritize it. I have known people to put a low price on an event thinking, well, people are going to have to pay to get there, or maybe they'll fly in because it's cheap. But it's almost the opposite. When an event has a high perceived value, because it is an investment, an investment can mean different things for different people, different price points, that's sometimes when people will prioritize it and they will fly in because they really perceive that they're going to be getting a certain amount of value out of it, right? So when you're thinking about the price point, of course you want to be considering value and you want to be considering the overall experience. So when I was thinking about creating my Melbourne event, I knew it. I wanted it to be a high-end experience. So I wasn't price shopping. In fact, I looked at one hotel, which was the Olsen Hotel in Melbourne. Wasn't the cheapest, but that was not my objective. I wanted it to be a really nice environment for the participants. I wanted them to feel like they could dress up and they could really enjoy being in this environment with other people who are in business, and it could create this elevation, this, you know, elevated experience, and that would be a part of the day. So that informed pricing. It was never going to be like an, in inverted commas, cheap event. It's still cheap compared to working with me privately, but it was something that you would consider. You would think about, does this make sense? And then as you come into the day, you're wanting to get the most out of it, which is also something that I want. I wouldn't have wanted people coming to that event feeling just really casual, offhand. I haven't spent any time thinking about this beforehand. Let's just see what it is. If I want to leave halfway through, I will. I wanted a degree of investment in the day, so that informed the pricing. So with appropriate pricing, you could run an event that is really worthwhile and successful with just three or four clients. It could be more like an intensive across a day. You could have that mindset about it. Or if you do feel like, no, I do actually have a lot of clients who would be interested, that's where you might actually be able to do something low cost. You're like, no, they don't need to have that luxe experience or food or certain kinds of drinks. I just want it to be like, come and meet people. It's going to be really casual. It's going to be really light. And that might feel what's right for you. I would really encourage you to think about the needs of your clients and also to think through the logistics and what it is that you feel like you can manage within the constraints of other things that you have going on in your business. And also thinking about how profitable does it need to be? Because this comes back to your purpose for the event and what it is you're wanting to create. So primarily for me, it was about my participants having this incredible experience. I did feel that it needed to be a profitable event. I didn't feel that it made sense to be modeling creating something not profitable. That did not feel aligned for me. And also, I had to fly over, stay in accommodation, and it didn't feel right to me to be doing all of those things and then not making any money to take away from the day. However, because of the value I had on the participant experience, I did do additional things like commissioned having necklaces made for the participants, which said align on one side and attract on the other. Just this beautiful touch. Did I need to do it? No. Did it impact on my profit? Of course, but it was a really beautiful value add that was a surprise on the day. Also, I chose to book a photographer, not something that I would have done if profit was my highest priority. But I also could see the value of having really beautiful shots, both of me and of participants. And this is also for positioning and having content of me in that mode that I could share on my website and on socials. So as you feel into the size and the price point of the event, notice what feels really good for you, what feels really aligned. Number four, now events do come with costs, and I do not recommend you just feel into your purpose and the size and the price point of the event that you desire and then immediately book it in and run with it. I recommend that you do some checks first. Check for interest. Depending on the type of event and the size of event, that could look like speaking to individual clients about your idea and checking whether that is something they could be interested in. If it's going to be a relatively small event, you can even take this a step further and say, well, how does this month feel? How does this day of the week feel? And even talking about specific dates, of course, as they are expressing interest. And that can feel so lovely for your client to feel really considered in the process as well. But this can be a way to ensure that you at least get a viable number before you proceed with those next steps. When I rang my Melbourne event, what I did before I booked anything was I put it out to my mailing list and I said, this is what I'm thinking about doing. This would be the vibe of the day, the overall theme, and this would be the price point, and it'd be in Melbourne at around about this time of year. Would you be interested? If so, hit reply. Now, asking people to hit reply or to do something to show their interest can be a really great choice, because if people do not have a sufficient level of interest to reply or to speak to you about it or to reply even on, you know, to a social media story or something else, are they going to have sufficient interest to commit to an event? It is just indicative. When I did this, I had around about 20 people get back to me, and I just knew, okay, this is something that people are interested in. It did not mean that all of those people went on to actually book, but a lot of them did. And when I then created the event page and, you know, obviously followed up and found out if the venue was going to be available and dates and what the actual costs were going to be and so on, when I did all of that, I put together a pretty simple sales page, and then I went back to those participants and said, right, here it all is. Please do book in if you are interested, because I feel like this will probably book out. There has been quite a lot of interest and it's really going to help me to go ahead and plan. And then I didn't actually go ahead and book the venue until that point, until the point that people were actually paying. And I had a large number of people, like in comparison to the size of the event. So the event could have in the end a maximum of 20. I started out with the intention I was going to have 12, and then the maximum was 20. And I had about 15 people book in within a couple of days after this reach out process. So people contacting me, me directly sending those people an email to say, here are the actual details. Please book in if you are keen. And so consider how it is that you might gauge this interest. And I think personal conversations when it comes to events is the best thing that you can do. Or, like I said, asking on your in your email list or on social media and seeing what that interest is, knowing it may or may not translate into actual bookings, but you can have that step in the process like I did. If I had found really nobody's booking, everyone said they're interested, but now that I've put it out there, nobody's booking in, I could have at that point pulled out and there would have been no cost to me. So you can protect yourself from, you know, excessive costs and stress of trying to fill an event by taking some of those kinds of steps. And that also worked because the event was some months away. So I was sending this out in October. The event was in the end in March. And so, yeah, thinking, how can I do this? How can I mitigate the risk? How can I check for interest? And then running the numbers against the minimums and checking that it all adds up, because you certainly do not want to be creating an event. You might feel like, I don't mind if it doesn't make a lot of money, but if it's going to cost you money, you may not feel so comfortable with that. And you can put these steps in place to really help. Just really shore that up for yourself. Number five, then go ahead and take action. So I've talked about, you know, that initial step, and then it was, you know, emailing everyone on my mailing list, sharing on social media, going ahead, booking the venue, paying the deposits, feeling into the other aspects of the day. I decided I wanted gift bags. There were, you know, not a ton of things in the gift bags. There was my book. There was a copy of my chakra cards, which you can use with my DIY kinesiology kit, which is a downloadable kit, but this was actually a physical box of cards. I mentioned the necklaces. I ended up having to buy separate boxes for those because the boxes that I purchased were not suitable, even though they were pretty expensive. And then I got stickers to brand it. I bought notebooks. It's kind of simple, but all of these things had multiple elements and needed to be put together. I purchased bags and then I got my logo printed onto those bags. So all of those things took some time. Again, you must gauge if those things are worth it for the size of the event and also the price point of your event, and continue to move forwards with the other actions, ensuring you feel very well prepared with what it is that you're going to be sharing, obviously, and also moving forwards with the logistics. And you might find as you move through that process, gee, I've got some gaps. And then thinking about how can I fill those gaps? Like what, how can I learn what those things that I might not know? And that might involve conversations with people who have run events, especially if you've got close friends or business colleagues who have done that, or in, you know, asking the question in groups, perhaps not as general as, do you have any advice about running events? But if you've got specific questions, making sure that you do find your way of seeking those answers and supporting yourself to have a positive experience. And then, yeah, as well, continuing to share, and where appropriate, it might be asking other people to share as well. If you do decide to run an event, I really want to hear about it. Come and tell me at Kerry Rowett, and I look forward to speaking with you next time. This was episode 115 of the Align and Attract podcast, and that means you can find all of the relevant show notes over at alignandattract.com/blog/115. If you enjoyed this episode, please do share it with a friend, and I will see you next time.